Have you ever thought about connecting with your galactic family and being a part of the many starseed races? Well, today we're going to talk with Dr. Christopher Macklin, where we talk about the extraterrestrials of this world and other worlds and how to be a part of the Galactic Federation, which he is a prominent member. And we're going to touch on how in many diseases of the human race, and some are part of manufactured diseases. And we're going to talk how to raise your vibrations to heal ourselves and ward off negative entity forces. All this on today's show. I'm Tony Sweet with Truth Be Told. Please welcome back to the Truth Be Told studios, the one and only Dr. Christopher Macklin. Well, welcome back, Mr. Macklin. How are you?
Yay, thanks, Tony. I'm wonderful. Thanks for having me back.
No, I'm excited. We had a great time last time, and I know we're going to do it again. And, you know, a lot has happened since we've talked, and the world has changed a lot. And we'll get into that at the end of the show. But I kind of wanted to start, you know, you've written so many books, I think, six books and probably many love letters to your partner there.
Absolutely.
First of all, what inspires you for each of these books? What's one of the biggest things that you want to get across to the audience and also just to kind of get off your chest and get out to the world?
I think, you know, when I first started, I wanted to describe how the healer works, because I think it's really important to understand, you know, what the cause and effect is. And of course, as you know, I've got dyslexia, so it's very difficult for me to write books, but I can dictate it, I can channel it, you know, so I channel the books. And the good thing about ghostwriters is, of course, when they don't understand something, because, you know, it's just like a splodge of blah, you know, it's all there. Right. And they say, well, hang on, whoa, hang on. What about, I don't understand this, I don't understand that. So the good thing about having a ghostwriter, which we do have, is that they can pull the information and make it understandable to other people. But, you know, the first book I wrote was Dissolving the Enigma of Divine Healing, Understanding How It Worked. It's kind of different than other modalities in effect, because, you know, there's a whole slew of different things we do, you know. And it, right. I always tell people, look, you've got a gift. Don't use other people's modalities, because really it's their perception of how their understanding of healing works. To me, it's very important to channel and understand your own gift, you know. So that did that. And then, of course, we did Define Transcendence, talking about what's going on in the world and, you know, opening people up. I wanted people to understand that there's symbology, there's all sorts of things, basically, that that are affecting people's mindsets. Then we did the manifestation, you know, talking about manifestation. I wanted people to understand, to me, manifestation, you know, we do have a manifestation technique. It's called the Magi, which is part of the Melchizedek being manifestation technique. It's symbology. You have to do, you know, and you have to kind of, you know, do all the symbology, the Magi symbology, and then release it, which is great. But to me, you should be manifesting second by second, hour by hour, by changing your mindset to positivity. And I wanted to, you know, get people to understand that really, to me, manifestation is a way of life. You know, mm-hmm. it involves gratitude. It involves God's got your back, you know, complete surrender, and don't worry about money, you know, because it's not just manifesting money. It's manifesting all the things you need in your life, to all the instruments to be able to get out there and do your work, you know. So we wrote that, and then we worked Center of the Minds, because, of course, the nation, you know, all over the world, all nations are really having a hard time at the moment. So we gave exercises and understanding the mind, basically giving advice on, you know, setting boundaries, getting your own bubble so that you can actually operate and have people who absolutely adore you and love you and aren't going to shame you for anything. And, you know, that's important, you know, stop being a people pleaser, all these sort of things, you know, these ideas. And we also did a brain series, because people have got ADD, ADHD, mm-hmm. OCD. I've got OCD, you know, and of course, PTSD, you know, especially
right.
now. So,
right.
So that really helped. The brain series is actually it's a healing meditation, basically. What we're doing is releasing emotion related to that condition, and then working on the neurochemical balance, you know, serotonin's in the adrenals, releasing the adrenals. the rest of it, GABA, dopamine, and all those things are released in the brain. So I got them to work on the glands in the brain to help rebalance that so it gets rid of these conditions. And I've had a lot of psychiatrists, psychologists who are using these things now, and they're really working. They really help. So, you know, I want to help people. And of course, the amazing one is the history, truth, and healing of manufactured diseases. And it's interesting because I wrote this book, talking about Morgellons, Lyme, HIV/AIDS, Agent Orange.
Right.
I wrote that and then nothing happened with it. And I said, okay, I need to get someone to edit it. And I gave it to somebody who didn't happen, get somebody else, didn't happen. I said, okay, go, what's happening? You're not meant to release it. It's missing something. Oh, okay. So I shelved it. And then we came across a protocol to get these things out of the body. And it's basically based on the Akashic record. It splits your timeline into the timeline you are now and separates the stuff out of the body. As soon as I found that, we completed the book, put it out there. And up to now, you know, we wrote that and released it about 2 years ago. And we've worked on over 350 people with Lyme, HIV/AIDS, Agent Orange, Morgellons, and it's completely got rid of it. You know, it's been incredible. So I'm really excited. It is a very different protocol. It's a 20-week program. So, you know, if people do have those diseases, please take a look at it. You know, it's an intense program, but it really does work. You know.
I think, and you have this last one, the sacred prayers. Is that what?
Oh,
is
yeah,
that?
I forgot the sacred prayers. Yeah, absolutely. Sacred prayers, what you do in healing, and you know, I see a lot of people don't realize this, it's really important to protect yourself with different things, like you've got spiritual tap prayer. There's beings in a different dimension trying to shut you down. You know, as much as you try and get your light and your vibration up, they're trying to shut it down, send you thoughts, attach to you, whatever they try and do. And so, you know, we created a slew of prayers, but the most important one to me is the 27 esoteric Merkaba field prayer. And what that does is it puts 27 esoteric Merkaba fields around, and it really helps to stop these entities reattaching to you. If you say it three times a day, it keeps them out. Whilst you're getting your vibrational, once you've got your vibrational, you're good to go, because you know your vibration's way above them. They can't even get near your energy field. So, you know, I always look at my job, you know, I don't believe in gurus and all this stuff is a thing of the past. And, you know, you are your own guru, you know, and I encourage people to get back to your sovereign self, take your power back.
Right.
Because when you do, and when you get your vibration up there, you know, I've seen it, you know, we work on thousands of people, 20,000 people a week. And, you know, we get so many reports, oh my God, when you're leaping out of bed in the morning, going, oh my God, I feel incredible. And you're excited for the day. You know that not just are you in divine alignment, but you've probably found your passion and your gift that you really enjoy. You know, I mean, this is a way of life to me. I do it day in, day out. It's not really a job, and it's right. exciting.
Well, I mean, this just hearing these books brings up so many questions. But one of the questions that really popped out in my head while you're talking about this, when you say gifts, a lot of people go through life and they don't ever find a gift, Can a gift be considered a purpose? And if that is true, how do people find that gift? Is it because of the people around them, an energy, I wouldn't say a curse, but because it seems like a lot of people are just so unhappy and they just never seem to find that something in their life that they feel that they're good at, or or their destiny.
No, you're right. You know, I mean, I see it all the time. You know, first of all, you know, starseed people who have volunteered to come down here, of which there are many, I hear, well, you know, I don't belong here, you know.
Right. I hear it all the
time. This is not my planet. Well, that would be true. I said, don't try and belong here. You're different. So what you need to do is take a step back. Don't try and be normal, you know, in the word of normal human being.
Thing. Right.
You know, you're going to have some sort of thing like ADD, ADHD. You know, I've got OCD, I've got ADD, you know, attention deficit, there's various forms of it. You know, my wife won't let me buy a motorcycle because she said, well, you're in the ethers more than you're down here and you're not concentrated.
Right.
And I kind of don't blame her because she's right, you know. But I think, you know, first of all, recognize that, you know, and get around people who really get you, because if you get around the average person on the street, they're going to think, my God, you're nuts, you know, and of course, from their perspective, you are. Right. But I think the other thing about it is, as well, is that you have to spend time. You know, I think people, people are too busy with their lives, busy for the sake of being busy, and they're not taking a step back. You know, for me, when I discover my gifts, I had to meditate for quite a long time, like 2-3 months, you know. And, you know, I'd gone bankrupt, had no money, you know, all disappeared, marriage disappeared. And so
right.
I meditated 4-6 hours a day.
Wow.
And did that and nothing happened. Nothing happened. But then I got to about 2.5 months and nothing was happening. I said, well, you know, guys, I'm not going to stop. So yeah, going to show up eventually. And it's interesting. One thing I learned about the off-planet beings is they show up when they realize that it's serious. And they, you know, because, you know, people might say, oh, yeah, I'll give you 5 minutes. Oh, I've got to go because we've got, you know, dinner there and doing that, mm-hmm. you know, they're too busy. But they want to see people show up because they're not going to, it sounds brutalist, but they're not going to waste their time on people who are going to just, oh, well, yeah, I've got my gift. Right, okay, let's go back to work. And, you know, they're doing nothing. And I think the other thing is, Sir Andy, you know, when I was taken bankrupt and sitting in the middle of Manchester going, well, I've got no money for food and what do I do now? And God, this is not funny, you know, because I've had 21 years of work, I've lost millions of pounds and now I've got nothing. And I've just got 2 Walmart bags with a couple of shirts and this is not funny. And they said, well, it's the right time, you know. I remember them saying that. I said, what do you mean it's the right time? You know, it's the right time, you'll see it. And by goodness, I did see it. It was an amazing journey. But I think, you know, I allowed myself to just surrender, you know, and really start understanding life, understanding what made me happy. I loved doing the healing. I could see things. And from that, they started to channel and make me understand cause and effect of things mm-hmm. like leukemia, like, you know, all these things, cancers and
right.
cystic fibrosis. And from that, you know, they taught me and they still teach me today. You know, this protocol came about just accidentally. Someone with Morgellons, you know, which is nanoparticles in their body, she did the Morgellons she did the Akashic Record meditation clearing. The stuff turned on and went nuts. oh, it doesn't like this. Why is that? And then, anyway, started poking around and understood that we came across the new protocol, which is timeline splitting. It's incredible. So, you know, you never stop learning. It's amazing.
Oh, for sure. No, I'm the same way. I was never a follower, you know, I was never peer pressured. I was that kind of an introvert and I actually am proud introvert when it comes to, I didn't need to be the part of the crowd. Even though I can be in the crowd, I don't need to be a part of it. So for me, I think it actually benefited me. And one thing that you said about surrendering, I think, you know, people like yourself, you said OCD. Sometimes OCD people are very hard about giving up control. I'm the same way. I don't like yeah. giving up too much of my control. So when I'm saying, oh, I'm just going to surrender, and, you know, in the religious, you know, Christianity, the same way, you know, I'll give it to God. Well, how does one get past that giving and surrendering control of your life and your destiny if it's hard for you in this world to give up that? How do we break down those walls?
I think what you have to do is start releasing the emotion around the OCD or the ADD. And we have a fast, you know, trap method. So if you think about this, you know, human beings on this planet are ingesting 100, 150,000 layers of emotion. It's
right.
way, way too much for a human being. That's why everyone's sick. They've got intestinal issues. The adrenals are mm-hmm. crashed. The liver's not functioning. Thyroid's off balance because all this emotion from the heart goes into other chakra points and bleeds in there.
Right.
And so I think releasing that emotion first, but also changing the patterns. My wife taught me a lot, Mandy. You know, I married her 4 years ago and I was pretty, you know, I mean, I'm kind of British, you know. I call it, you know, you can chew a corn on the cob, stick it up the bot, and you're a little bit like that. You know what I mean?
That's why you walk funny. No, I was kidding.
Yeah, exactly. But it's a little bit like that, you know, a little bit, well, you know,
right.
Everything has to be precise. And Mandy's the opposite. You know, she's my counterpart. She taught me so much, you know, because, you know, I adopted a daughter, Arabella, which is now my daughter. You know, she's autistic. She's 15. Oh, okay. She's nonverbal mainly, but she's getting better and better and better. But when I first adopted her, she used to, you know, be quite violent, bite you and all sorts of things. And,
oh, wow.
You know, we've got to go over that, but it, and also she used to turn the faucet on the floor, switch it on and flood the house. And it taught me a lot about letting go. And, you know, although when I went bankrupt, I realized stuff doesn't matter, you know, mm-hmm. I still didn't want to get damaged. And it took me to a new level of, just don't worry about it. It's okay. You know, it's people that matter. The only thing I'm OCD now is pantaloons, you know, and I think because when I was actually bankrupt and I was living literally out of a car, I think I ended up with this OCD about clothes and have to be in the right space. So, but you know, I'm not really OCD about much else anymore. I kind of, it's okay, you know. But you do have to change the patterns. And I think, you know, you have to train your thoughts. And it takes a lot of work, you know, I think, because, you know, when you feel that, oh, hang on, you know, oh, and then you think, hang on, let's sit with it a minute. Why am I feeling that? Oh, because actually it doesn't matter. So then you can transmute that pattern. And if you keep doing it, eventually, you know, you'll transmute them. But it does take a lot of work. You've got to manage your thoughts all the time.
And I think so. I think you have to also be ready for it.
Yeah.
Because I know I've tried it when I was in a younger age, and even though my mind still goes 100 miles an hour, I know how to block out more things now than I used to. So I think that's just, you know, part of aging. One thing that you talked about is a starseed. What I think a lot of people. This is my opinion. A lot of people get confused of God, the Christian God, and Buddha, and you know all the other gods in Hinduism, which is hundreds of them, the Greek mythology, all these different gods that you know throughout human history. But also, a lot of people nowadays, especially in ufology, are starting to think they're one and the same. What is your theory on that? On what God is and what connection, like angels and extraterrestrials, are they the same, one and the same? Or what is your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, some of them are, you know. I mean, I define God as God, Goddess, prime creator of all that is, and that's the true one prime
right.
creator, in my opinion.
Right.
You know, of course, people have different opinions. And what I've seen is that, you know, there's been various people come down to help teach as volunteers, and they've gone through a heck of a lot of stuff. Look at Jesus, look at Buddha, you know.
Right.
These are actually Melchizedek beings. I've got Buddha here, actually, behind me. You know,
oh, nice.
I don't know if you could see the painting. But they're ascended masters, and I think they've come down to try and help people, you know, change their way of life at different times. And I know a lot of ascended masters have come down for the last 4,000 years a number of times to be able to get to this point right now, because this is it. This is the biggest change we're ever going to have. So there are ascended masters, like Archangel Michael, for example. A lot of people talk to him. He's mm-hmm. an ancient Palladian. Is he angelic? Yeah, absolutely. He's, you know, to me, angelic souls are when people are evolved and, you know, they've kind of volunteered to come back here, but they don't really need to. They've volunteered to help people move forward. Or, you know, he's in the ethers talking to people through channeling. And the same with Mother Mary, you know, because mm-hmm. of that being. So it's really important. So, you know, starseeds are people really who are evolved. They don't have to come back. They could just stay over there, but they volunteer. God says, well, you know, the prime creator says, well, we need volunteers. Yeah, I'll do it. And then you get down here, that, oh my goodness,
like, what
was I thinking?
You know, I, you know what
I mean? I want to go back. You
know? Right.
Especially when you're just coming out of the womb and the IRS said, oh, welcome to Earth. Here's your invoice. You know?
Right. 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 And your parents remind you of that.
Yeah. So, you know, there's a lot of angelic beings. Is Mother Mary angelic? Well, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, Jesus the Christ, and you've got Buddha, you've got Babaji, and you've got a number of, you know, I because Melchizedek is my lineage, I was brought down here. You know, I've got 80-odd% Melchizedek DNA to get the soul in. So, you know, and other people as well, like Arcturians, tend to be spliced in at birth. They're not a natural mother and father. They may use like the egg, but then what they'll do is they'll, you know, your father's off planet because,
right.
you know, you've been spliced here. So, like, my father's not my father. I mean, the guy's nuts, you know, bless him. and, you know, do I get on with him? Well, not really. He just berates you all the time, you know. And
right.
of course, you you've got this stuff going on about various things, separation of families. You didn't take something.
Right.
No, that would be no. So it's interesting, you know.
No, it is interesting. And I always said, if Jesus came down today, nobody would believe him. And I think because of the technology we have and the distractions we have, for those that, believe in the Christian faith, it's, or any other type of religious or guru, not guru, divine, what did you call him? A divine, like Jesus.
Ascended Masters.
Masters. So how would we know that now? Because they would have to do like these magical tricks just to get us to believe. Or are there masters here now that are making a difference that they're not as
they're all ascended. Here now, and they're all actually on a honor that they would never tell people their past lives, and because it doesn't actually matter who you were,
right.
It matters actually what you do now. And to me, if it takes a circus trick to get someone to believe, then
right.
What's the point?
What's the point?
I do healings every day, and I know some of the other because that beings come back. They're doing different ones, doing sacred geometry.
Right.
They're all doing different things, and I know some of the Palladians that are helping. Doing healings and things, and Actorians. The Actorians work very closely with us. They're back. It's just like you say, what's the point in even mentioning who you were in the past? Or
right.
Because it doesn't matter, because people say, oh, yeah, whatever, and then they'll walk off thinking you're right. More nuts than what you really are.
Right. It's true. And who are some of the starseed races? And can you talk about where they're from, or is it just multiple different starseeds?
There's a number of them. There's Lyrans, there's Palladians from Pallades, of course. There's Atlantarians in the Atlantarian time. A lot of them are under the planet, helping here. People don't realize that. The Sirius A and B, also from the same constellation, they've come down. There's actually the Actorians. They're in a different dimension, ninth and 12th dimension. And in fact, we're working very closely with them because we've got a huge project to do, which is basically a pyramid project. Building off-planet pyramids are going to bring them here. And that's moving forward pretty quickly. One of the problems has been about it is we have to get something like 100,000 acres in the right place over a ley line, because these
right.
things are going to be like 666 feet tall, 333 feet tall. They're huge. So, it's the wrong time to bring things like that down now because, of course, the current political climate is not tantamount to be able to accept those, I think. So it's been delayed till next year, but it's moving forward. And, if you think about it, I think it's really going to help people because if things just drop out of the sky and suddenly appear one day, people say, oh, my God, there is a God, and they'll want to come and see them. So that's why, most of the money we're trying to raise, which with top banking people who are white hats, is actually to create an infrastructure so people can have food and, get drinks and
right.
meditation gardens, everything else. The pyramids are free, the land's obviously not free because we've got to purchase it. And they will really help the planet accelerate the energy to this 5D thing. Because, I've had so many readers say, oh, we're 60% there. And, are you sure you're on the right planet? Because I'm not seeing it, I know we're about 2.4, 2.5% people awake at the moment. It's not enough. It's got to get to 8.7. But there's another thing as well is that the reptilian element under the planet, the dark people like the Draconians, Anunnaki,
right.
you've got the Luciferians attached to the Vatican. These guys want us out and off the planet because they want to come up. So that's why, people like Gates and all these people want to put chemtrails to block out the sun so it'll reduce the plant life and, of course, the oxygen reduce so they can come up and breathe oxygen. Of course, that's not good for us. So there's a kind of a little bit of a battle going on at the moment of of the planet. We're winning, but there's certainly a battle going on. It's very interesting, actually.
So I was gonna. That's curious because here's my take on that. How come they would even wait until the 21st century when we have some type of technology? When 300 years ago we had no technology other than swords and a mule, why wouldn't they just take over the world then? I mean, I'm just curious because I just always thought, why wouldn't they wait until we have no technology until now when we do have technology?
I think it's a lot to do with free will and universal laws. And to me, here's the deal. You know, if you look at what's going on now, they're trying to mandate things and take it to the absolute precipice.
Right.
But without saying, you know, I'm going to do it to you, you know, but they're taking things to the precipice. And I think they can't overrule certain universal laws. For example, all the things that happen and have been in films, they've been on various cartoons, you know, they've been telling people bluntly and blatantly, and even the symbology coming on, you know, some of the stars, you know, it's blatant satanic things, except people just don't see it, you know. And so, but they have to warn before they do. So there's a whole slew of universal laws they have to still adhere to. So it's interesting. It's really interesting. You can't just come and wipe out the whole nation. I mean,
right?
You know, they can, and they also blocked. Of course, nuclear weapons are blocked, so they wouldn't be able to let those off. The Actorians monitor them all the time. So, and you know, I know they could have accidentally got off a number of times, but they've disabled them. You know, so, and they will keep disabling them. You know,
you work pretty close with Actorians, don't you?
Yeah, we've got actually. Believe it. We've got some watches. I went to a ranch once, and it was interesting. He had a problem with the greys, you know, the tall greys. And what was happening is a portal was opening, and he had it was a ranch where they had horses, and it was a sanctuary for them. And you get up one morning, and like one of the horses was completely dismembered and half eaten.
Oh my God!
And it was nuts. So I went down there for the weekend, and I managed to get the portal open before we closed it. As soon as I opened it, there was like a sonic boom. It was about 300 feet above. Things were dropping out, and suddenly the Actorian craft appeared. We have three craft that, like the watchers, who kind of protect you. So if things get crazy, they'll take you off planet.
Right.
Because they haven't got time to rebirth you because, you know, they need you now or something. So, yeah, we worked pretty close with them. And, you know, it was interesting because the craft just appeared, and it was about a mile away. They were going like one to three, just sitting there. And I was playing with this portal, and then I look around, and you can see the military helicopters going around these things. What do we do with these? And the answer is just leave them alone. It's okay. And then as soon as I close the portal, bang, they're gone. So, yeah, we do. We also clear the crystalline structure around the planet. There's a very interesting crystalline structure, which allows you to do telepathy. So what's happening is the thing fills up with all this hatred and fear and, you know, different energies to the point where, you know, people start to feel despair. So that's why, again, in the prayer book, we have a prayer to remove, you know, the collective energy and send it back to God, because you don't need to feel it. It's not yours.
Right.
And I think we clear that once a week, and that used to be enough. Now it's not. You know, it's filling up so fast because things are getting more sound. So we do quite a bit for the planet.
You're talking about opening of portholes. Is it how hard is it to find them, or how hard is it to open them? Can you open them anywhere, or does it have to be on a ley line or a certain energy field? How do you find them, and how do you open them, or how do you even close them?
Well, I can open portals. I think, again, some of it's a gift. I can open portals. You know, every day when we work with somebody, we put eight portals around them and then bond it into Merkabah field. So what that means from the ultimate dimension is the Melchizedek beings can come through that portal and do psychic surgery on people. And the person's protected because, you know, no entities can mess about whilst the healing's going on. So that is a portal. There are certain portals around the world, Stargate type things, and certain places where they can open and close portals. and they're just kind of there. So what you need to do is kind of shut that whole portal system down. And that's what I did that weekend. It took me about a day and a half to open it. But once we opened it, you know, you could see like these craft dropping out of the sky. It was nuts, you know, beings, craft. And then what I did is just shut it down with the Melchizedek beings, and it was shut down for good. And he didn't have any problems with the greys afterwards, you know, so.
Well, that, yeah, I've talked to many people about, it seems to be always the greys. A few times it might be another, you know, the humanoids or something like that, but mostly the greys seem to be the most interested in experimenting on us or with us. Why do you think that is? Why is the greys seem to be like the scientist of the orangutans of Planet of the Apes?
Well, I mean, they destroyed their planet with nuclear weapons and everything else. And also, because of the technology they have, which is now coming here, sadly, they've destroyed their ability to reproduce, which is starting to happen in the human race as well. So they can't reproduce. So what they did is say, okay, guys, look, you know, they went to see the government. Okay, sign this document. You will give your technology and you give us your people and we'll steal their body bits. You know, is it good? Absolutely not. You know, it's an atrocity. But they were escorted. I was involved with the what they call the Galactic Federation, and people have different aspects from it. The one you know I work with is a lot of different. It's on different kind of dimensions, different time, space, and different dimensions, and it's a lot of beings. We're talking about millions of beings involved with this because it polices a lot of dimensions to make sure that you know, the free will doesn't overextend itself. Because Tony, if you think about it, what's the difference between free will and education? So, you know, think about this. Well, you know, you come to this planet, so they show you a glimpse of, okay, we've got Anunnaki and Draconians are going to attach to you. You know, you're going to have to learn how to remove them and do things. So, you know, they're there really to, you know, it's no use having a classroom without some things happening to wake you up. So they're there to basically, you know, mess about with you, but you know they're going to be there. So is that a manipulation? No, it's an education. So you have to understand them, how to get rid of them, use the power of maps of intent, what I call prayers. But if you're coming down and a race says, okay, what I'm going to do is I'm going to paralyze you, take you on my ship and steal your sperm or your body bits, you know, the eggs. Is that a violation of education? That's a violation. So I was at the meeting where it was discussed and said, yeah, it's a violation. So the Actorians actually took them off the planet. So what they've done now is they're very crafty. So they come in portals. They're banned from this planet. But think about this. If they're in a portal where they can mess with you from, you know, inside a portal, they're not actually in this time space. They're in a different time space, but still manipulate. So they're very clever beings. You know, they got around that. But we've got to look at that in the future.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah. And I always found it interesting, you know, because that seems like that's always what you hear is the greys. But also, you're a prominent member of the Galactic Federation. I'm really curious of how you became a member and how do you become a member? Do you have to be a healer or an ascending master? I mean, what do you have to do to become a member of that?
Well, there's lots of people involved who are, you know, who are very evolved. And right. I think, for example, you know, Archangel Michael's part of it. We've got, I'm one of three. There's always threes of people, you know, one of the three chairperson who chair it. And, you know, they have to have at least two there to be able to chair it. It's interesting. There is a lot of evolved people, you know, people like John the Baptist, Mother Mary. All these beings are involved with this to make sure that we police things and make sure it doesn't go too south. And, you know, if things are going south, they've got, you know, millions of beings who are willing to get involved and shift things around. I mean, of course, the technology they've got there is way, way exceeds what we have down here. You know, same with the Actorians, you know, I mean, these pyramids they're building are, you know, off the charts. You know, the ancient technology, but stuff we wouldn't have here. You know, we've just got all the nanotechnology and the icky stuff. You know, sadly, the Greys have given us that. It's like giving, you know, it's like giving the keys, you know, the Ferrari to a 2-year-old. You know, it starts destroying things. It's been very interesting.
And what information do, or what do you discuss, and how do you bring that back to this world?
Well, they can take you physically, or they can take you, if it's in a different dimension, they tend to, you know, release the soul from the body.
Right.
And basically, you remember it, you know, so you're there at the meeting, they're talking about, okay, what do we do about the grays, what do we do about this and that. They have things in place that, you know, if too many of the children get into trouble at the moment, they'll probably ship them off the planet, you know. So it's the way it is, you know, using ships, you know. They do have things in place and they're here to help us. But you've got to remember that, you know, part of the plan of this planet is that why do Ascended Masters, why do Palladians come down here, why do Actuans, why do these people have to actually physically be on the planet? And the answer is because it's free will. So unless they've got a messenger down here saying, hey, guys, bring the stuff down, they're not allowed to get involved because it's free will. And it's kind of quite frustrating for them sometimes because they, oh, my God, you know, someone just tell us, get down here and we'll do it and we'll do it, you know. But it's up to us as, you know, being beings on this planet that it gets over the free will thing. Not that it's not free will, but, you know, because the average person doesn't realize the extent of all the manipulation, mind control, everything else, it takes these beings to actually say, okay, guys, we need help on this area, we need help on that. Otherwise, you know, the planet would actually be in trouble. So,
yeah. And do you, I mean, that kind of goes to where we're at now. How do you feel with the current environmental of this planet? How do you feel? Is the Galactic Federation worried about our planet when it comes to the environment or climate change or whatever you want to call it, how things are changing? We don't necessarily know exactly what the causes are, but are they concerned about our future when it comes to that?
No, they're not so concerned about climate change because it doesn't exist. I mean, we're manipulating weather, and the planet's going through its, you know,
natural
36,000 natural cycle. So, you know, it's what they expect. It's just, of course, all these instruments are used as reasons why we have to do climate change. You know, I heard the other day, you know, that you know, babies and kids are having heart attacks because of climate change. Oh, okay. Figure that one out.
It's
interesting, you know, so can't go into that too much. But, you know, there's all sorts of, you know, silly things. Even my father, I talked to him, he said, well, you know, the BBC and the WHO said that there's climate change. We've got to really do something about it because it's getting into trouble. But it's not, you know, it's, I wouldn't worry about the climate change. I think it's, you know, it's the people on the planet and their mental state, you know, mental health. And the rest of the instruments that are on the planet that are not so good. You know, there's plenty of things going on at the moment. Climate change is the least of my worries.
Right. Well, really, what is the Federation worried about then? Or are they at all about our species?
More about what's happening now, about basically becoming infertile and a lot of people passing because of what instruments were administering at the moment. They're pretty worried about that, especially for the kids. So
yeah, it's crazy. Well, you said this one book, what was it here? The History and Truth of Healing. I with the last 10 minutes that we have together here, I want to ask you about this. Throughout, you know, human history, we've come across many types of different diseases and viruses that, you know, the Black Plague, and always throughout our history seem to something every so often it comes and wipes out a large portion of the human species. You know, then with HIV and AIDS, they, you know, millions of people died, and then, you know, the list goes on and on and on. When did humans begin to start manipulating diseases versus natural diseases?
I think it started even, you know, around the Babylonian times, mainly Atlantean times, you know. It's all this stuff is gain of function, you know. It's looking for diseases that act faster in the body. How do you deliver them using solvents? How do you bind them to a cell? And so, you know, this has been going on forever. I mean, for the last, I would say, 40 years, you know, the nanotechnology, the nanobots and all these type of things, they call them, you know, we call them Morgellons, but They've been around for a while, and mm-hmm. we've been monitoring them. I've been working with them for the last 14 years, and you know, they transmit, they receive. They're 0.1 of a nanometer in size. They have microchips inside called CMOS, you know, which is complementary metal oxide transistors inside. And you think, you know, well, how can you, you know, how can you get a transistor that small? Well, it's nanotechnology, it's new technology, and they grow them. And it's also bound with nylons and different plant materials and also silicates. And so these things, they put them in people's bodies. They've been testing them, you know, using satellite frequencies, you know, now it's all out there anyway, you know, so it's you know, it's the thing really. This book really explains, you know, the grays and how it came about, and the black goo, and, you know, explains the whole thing. And, you know, I think it's an interesting read, you know, especially if you do have some of these diseases. It's nice to understand that, you know, you don't normally have diseases that are really big killers on a planet. And I think the other thing about it as well, Tony, is that, you know, if they give you technology from a different planet, the problem you've got is you don't have the herbs here or the natural resources mm-hmm. to actually heal it, because it's from somewhere else. You know, this planet, you know, when it first arrived, so, you know, the prime creator puts all the, you know, plant life and animal life, everything on the planet that you need to look after it. But then, oh, hang on, they're manipulating it. So, of course, that's why some of these diseases, there's no cure for it. Even Epstein-Barr and herpes, you know, there's actually, you know, there's drugs that help, but there's no cure for it because it's a pathogenic infection. A lot of this is gain of function.
Yeah, I actually was diagnosed years ago with Epstein-Barr, because mono, and I ended up getting mono, and then years after, every so often, stress or whatever, I would just start getting sick, or I felt sick, and finally, I moved out here to L.A., and this one doctor was one of the few people that actually worked with Epstein-Barr, said that, yeah, you tested positive for it. And I'm like, oh, what is it? I didn't even know what it was at the time. It still kicks in once in a while.
It's a pathogen. The stealth pathogens exponentially replicate. Epstein-Barr pathogens replicate slower, but, you know, HIV, you know, when it replicates, it does it exponentially a lot faster.
Right.
But it still damages the body, you know, it affects the eyes, it can affect the, you know, the liver, it mm-hmm. can affect a lot of things, you know, it's crazy. And it could also get in things like, you know, muscular dystrophy normally comes from Lyme disease, because what happens is one of the co-infections of Lyme is Epstein-Barr mm-hmm. gets in. You know, what happens is if it gets in the muscles or the connective tissue, your immune attacks it. Mm-hmm. Of course, you know, you've got swelling. And, you know, people say, well, why is my immune attacking itself? Well, it's not. It's attacking something in your body. It doesn't attack your own tissue.
Right.
It attacks something in the tissue that's not welcome, you know. And that's where people don't realize, you know, it's interesting. It's really interesting.
Well, for the people that really don't think that, you know, humankind would infect their own people, I mean, if you look back in history, just, you know, the white people actually infected many of the Native Americans with smallpox. And, you know, U.S. military, you know, tested a lot of, you know, chemical agents on their own soldiers, you know, back in the day. So, yeah, it's definitely something that, you know, human history proves that, you know, we test on our own people. And, you know, do you feel like sometimes it's a population control? Is it just a DNA changing of DNA? I mean, what do you think?
I think there's a population. I mean, they're huge. Yeah, I think with the deep state, the Illuminati, whatever you call them,
right?
You know, there's a population. They want to control the population for sure,
right?
And they're doing a great job of it, you know.
Yeah,
and manipulating, you know. If you look at the mind control going on this planet right now, it's just nuts. And the saddest thing, I think, for me is that, you know, it's now finally got to families separation, you know, vax versus no vax and mass versus no mass.
Right, right.
You name it. And, you know, I encourage people out there. It's interesting because I had a chat with my father and I kind of fell out with him because he always shamed me. Like, oh, you're a bankrupt. How disgusting. Oh, never mind. Just money. Who cares? And, oh, you did this, you did that, you know. Anyway, this was Easter Sunday, last Easter Sunday. So I wrote to him. I said, well, our conversation was both passive aggressive, narcissistic. And I said, all you ever try and do is shame me. You should look at your own thing when we're young and, pointed some things out to him. So I didn't speak to him for about six, and I said, I don't want to speak to you for 6 weeks because I'm pretty disgusted. So I didn't. Anyway, he went south and, oh my God, I feel like an abuser. And so anyway, I was talking to him. He said, well, I just want you to understand that, I see things differently. I said, look, Dad, do I believe in the stuff that's going on? No. Do you? Yeah, you listen to the BBC and the Who. I said, so who's right or wrong? And he goes, well, I said, do you want to know the answer? Nobody's right or wrong. There is no right or wrong. Yeah. Your perception of your what you understand to be great for the planet is from the research you did. And my perception is very different because I use actually scientists and top, leading scientists, mm-hmm. not people who are getting paid off. So our perceptions are completely different, but no one's right or wrong. And so, I said, stop shaming me, for my beliefs and I'll stop shaming you,
Right.
And he goes, oh yeah, you're right. I do apologize. And, and I encourage people, at home as well, you've got to really understand people's perception is their perception. If they want to do things or they don't, that's okay, But
and that's what I love about the, the free will. And I think that people trying to be always right is the divider of what is wrong with this world. Because we're not always right, but we're not always wrong. And I agree with you that, the old saying is agree to disagree.
Exactly. Yeah. Your perception of what's going on is your perception. And that's okay. But you can't shame someone for it. But, right. But also, I encourage people to set boundaries as well, because, if people do shame you, don't be a people pleaser.
Right.
I used to be, years ago, I used to invite some neighbor around. Oh God, I don't want them at my house again. And then they come here and you're absolutely exhausted.
Right,
the night
right.
Because
right. Just like,
suck your life out of you. Now we're not doing that anymore. And I don't do it. And people think, well, isn't that mean? It's not. I love the person from a distance. Do you
from
want them actually in your space? And the answer is no, because it's going to affect you personally. So, my answer really is, do you honor yourself enough to not have that person? Because you should, because you deserve better than that. Everyone does, And so, I always encourage people to just be around people who hold the space for you, who love you for who you are, who get you. And the people who don't, it's okay, let them go, because, you still love them, without condition.
Course.
But boundaries are important, I think, right now.
There's a lot more things that can break that bond than something like this. I don't think, it's as important as not you, but most people think it is. But as on our way out, so tell us, what do you think people in these times, that they can do for themselves to bring some healing, bring some spirituality into their own lives to better themselves? What can they do at home, alone, by themselves, in a group? What can they do to better their lives when it comes to their spirit and their body?
Well, my personal opinion is, this has given a lot of people ample time to be able to do their spiritual practices. So, mm-hmm. if you do Pilates or yoga, they all help. If you just meditate, spend some time meditation, slow down. One of the things that always concerns me is this social media stuff, because it's reptilian energy. It's very addictive. And of course, they manipulate the mind to put high drama things, and people get addicted to high drama. I've got to watch the next thing. I've got to watch, and that goes with Truth Seeker. That goes with everything. I always tell people, look, go with your discernment. Is this good for me? And if it's not, don't do it. Don't listen to it. But I think if you switch all that stuff off, because people get so caught up with, Facebook, YouTube, you name it, they get caught up with it. And really get back to your sovereign self, get back to you, think about your life and actually just take some time. Like you said, with gifts, everyone's got a divine gift. Everyone's got a divine plan, even if it's just coming down here and loving people and just shining your light. That's a divine plan in itself, and I've got people who do that, I've got one lady who works for a corporation and she stays in there because she knows that she's making a huge difference to a team and the people around her. And I think that's wonderful. You know, mm-hmm. you don't have to be the famous healer. You don't have to be a famous painter, writer, right. whatever. You know, you just be you, you know. And I think, you know, I encourage people to, you know, do their practice. Look for something that's fun as well. You know, I've started cooking. I love cooking.
Oh, great.
And, you know, and it distracts me because, you know, I always do this work. And so it's nice to just get the peppers out and the rice, whatever you're doing, and start cooking. And, right. you know, it's such a joy, you know, because I've got joy with it. You know, when people eat it, they, oh, my God, you know, you should be a chef. No, it's okay. I'm not a chef. You know, I need a recipe, like, you know, number one.
Right. Two scoops. Cook
whatever.
Yeah. Add an extra one.
Yeah. And oh, I'll just put a bit more.
Right. That's me. I'm always like, put a little extra in there just to.
but you know, if you're a gifted chef, you'll just have all the star. Well, you need, you know, they wouldn't measure anything. They just know, you know, it's a knowing. It's like with me with healing. It's just a knowing. I know what's wrong with somebody. I can see it. I can remote view into the body and see like organs if they're sick. I can see cancer tumors. And,
oh, wow.
You know, that's my gift. But, you know, you know, do some things that really, you know, just go out in trees. We have 42 acres 20 minutes down the road. We just sold a house. We're going to build a house there.
Nice.
And it's all trees. But one thing I've learned is that if you sit amongst trees, they're all around you, you know, you just feel that angsty energy. Oh wow. You know, you just feel it disappear. It's gorgeous. You know?
It's one of my favorite things to do is go up into the woods and just sit there and hear the wind go between the trees and stuff. That's my biggest meditation that I can do.
Oh yeah. I love it. Honestly, Tony, it's amazing. And you know, we've got a big fire pit, you know, it's pretty, you know, my father-in-law passed about 6 months ago. He was actually, so close to me that, you know, I've never had anyone so close to me. And it's been a massive loss for my wife and myself, you know, right. but he was such a close friend, soul, you know, he was Actorian as well. So, you know, but when he passed, you know, he built this thing and we bought it off Mandy's grandmother and now we're going to build a house there. But, you know, just to have that is just such a blessing, you know. I don't need anything else. You don't need all these fancy things.
Right.
Fancy cars. It's just, like you say, the trees, you know. It's,
right,
it's
right.
beautiful.
Well, all right. Well, so people can go to your website and it's right at the below, globalenlightenmentproject.com. You can pick up all these amazing books. Schedule a service with you and, what else do you have coming up that people can join in on and be a part of?
Yeah, you can do one-to-one sessions. If you want, you can also do specialized groups. We have up to 20 people. We speak to them all first. It normally lasts about 2 hours and then we do the healing after. And we also 3 times a week, I have a healing where it lasts an hour. We cover most things. It's Monday morning, 9 a.m., Thursday, 5 p.m. Central Time, and Saturday, 11 a.m. Central Time. And it's by donation. I always tell people, look, if you don't have any money, just please come on. That's what it's there for. You know, I've been without money. I know what it's like.
Right.
So, you know, please come on. You can register. You can come on. You know, see how you like it. If you enjoy it, great. If you don't, you know, then you don't have to come on again. But I want to make sure, you know, it's always been my motto, everyone deserves a healing, money or no money. So, you know, it's really important. We do those and we get about, each session we have, we get about 20,000 people looking on YouTube and about 8,000 on Facebook and on Zoom, I think we get a couple of hundred or whatever, you know, but it really is, you know, have a think about it. You know, it can only help you, you know, and we also have a monthly clearing that starts tonight. Where, you know, every single night I put a portal around people, remove any entities, clear the meridian structure, give them energy, clear the biofield, Akashic records, detox the body, clear the lymphatic, you know, system in the body and do 9 heart shock releases every single night. And I think that's an instrument that's really helped people through all this because they've been doing it for a while. You know?
Well, great. Well, once again, you have impressed me and been a great guest, and thank you as always. And you'll be coming back, I'm sure, in the future.
Yay, Tony,
right. You win a prize.
Tony, thanks for having me. We're gonna rock the house. Bless your heart.
Well, thanks and then when I'm ever over there, you haven't invited me, but I want a home cooked meal. Now that I know you're a chef.
Oh, I'll be getting ready.
Right.
Put up the sleeves and actually, I burnt myself the other night. Look at that. But I love cooking. Yeah, absolutely. You should come down, Tony.
Oh, I
especially
I
the property.
Will.
You know, we're building the house, and We've got cabins down at the moment, but when we build a house, it'd be lovely because people can come and stay. And you know,
oh,
it's got
wonderful.
It's got an outdoor kitchen as well. It's got a bathroom there for the cabins, and we'll have our house there as well. So I'm really
excited. I can't
wait
to. Hopefully, I'll get to see it one of these days. But well, don't go anywhere. We're going to finish this out, and then I want to have you do a promo. So, but for everybody out there, thank you guys for tuning in. As always, here on Truth Be Told, every Friday at 3 o'clock. Don't forget to tune in on Monday at 3 o'clock for Robert Hensley's Minuteman Report, and then Bonnie's show on Wednesdays at 3 o'clock for Truth Be Told Transformation, all about spirituality, the gurus and the healers and all that good stuff. But I had the pleasure of interviewing today Christopher Macklin at GlobalEnlightenmentProject.com. Until next time, we'll see you then. Take care. Bye.
This has been another episode of Truth Be Told. Thank you so much for watching. Recorded live at UBN Go Studios in Burbank, California. Join us on social media. Facebook, Truth Be Told Radio. Instagram, Truth Be Told Paranormal. Go to Truth Be Told Worldwide for more information on upcoming shows.